you know what, I trust our defense. If we don't get this, we'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But let's go be aggressive. Let's go get this. And that's our thinking. Like, we want to score every drive, mm-hmm. but we know that's not statistically possible, right?
Everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 23. I'm Jason Webster, here with the other stunned hosts, Jake Cranston and Jeff Webster.
Hey, Jake.
What's up, fellas?
Jason, how are you?
In disbelief.
Yeah, it's pretty insane, man.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything like, well, in my lifetime, I've never seen a game quite like that.
No, I mean, there's just, we could probably have a two-hour podcast just praising this team.
Very easily
accomplished. Yes. I mean, honestly, I seen the playback of Ryan Bates mm-hmm. putting that chicken wing on the top of his helmet, almost died all over again.
Yes.
The whole game was like that. It was literally taking Bill Belichick's nose and rubbing it against the grindstone, like just punishing that entire team.
Yeah, no doubt. And can I give you guys my perspective of being there for
a second? That's right. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, it's a good way to start.
So the cool thing about being at a playoff game like this is, number one, it was the first one in 26 years at home with a full crowd, which is super dope. Secondly, it was a packed house. There was barely any Pats fans there. It was all Bills fans for the most part. And nobody sat down the entire game. Nobody.
Well, they couldn't because you'd freeze to the seat.
It's too cold. You got to stand
but
up.
But it was like a party. Everybody was like high-fiving. I literally at one point had to go up and use the restroom, and I high-fived every person from the first row all the way up.
Wow.
All the way up, dude. Like everybody's just high-fiving. It was probably the coolest experience I've had at a Bills game ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just, what do you talk about? Fact that Bill Belichick in his 20 years in New England never had a team not punt against him, and now he's got 8 quarters, 2 complete games without a punt. I mean,
and that is just the tip of the iceberg. If it was just that, would be so cool, but it's not. It's so much more.
Yeah, it's huge.
I mean, they talk about the perfect game, not necessarily defensively, but we did a great job defensively, but the perfect offensive game. No punts, no field goals, no fourth downs, no turnovers.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Doesn't get any better. Can't be done.
7 straight touchdowns on 7 straight series from the start of the game to the 8th series, which is a kneel down. Yeah. It's just 4, I think I heard, was the record. Like 4 consecutive series with scoring touchdowns from the start of a game was the old record. They almost doubled it. I mean, it's insane. I'm still having trouble wrapping my head around this entire event, and it was an event. It is one that people will be talking about for 2 decades easy.
Yeah, it was insane. My uncle and I, after the cool thing is, we stayed until like the stadium was empty.
Yeah, it probably took a while.
Finished our beers. We started walking out. It was, I don't know, like 11:45 or whatever.
Sure.
And we always walk by the big tree, and I'm just like, on a whim, I go, hey, you want to go in the big tree and have some beers? And he's like, yeah. We walk in, it is packed to the gill.
Oh, I'll bet.
Somehow we found our way. Like, I found our way up to the bar. And, like, some guy, like, literally got up and, like, went to the bathroom. So, like, boom, got his spot. And we sat there, like, drinking until, like, 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
At the big tree. And it was still
that
packed the whole time.
So cool.
People are, like, coming up to the bar because I'm sitting there. And we're both sitting there trying to get drinks. And they'd be like, can I get in? I'd be like, yeah, come on in. People are just buying me shots and beers because I'm letting them buy beers.
Jeez.
It was so cool.
Did they carry out, or how'd that work out?
No, I was good, man.
Too excited to pass out.
Yeah, I bet you adrenaline was just like pumping.
Oh, my God.
Pumping.
I mean, we don't ever get to experience anything. I mean, I've never been able to do that.
Dude, do you realize if the Bills beat Kansas City and Cincinnati beats Tennessee, the AFC championship game is held in Buffalo this year?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what that would be like. I mean, and it's funny because here's what keeps rolling through my mind. And I remember the 2 things from that AFC Championship game against Kansas City. One was Stephon Diggs not willing to leave the field. He was motivating himself in what I consider to be a just crazy inspirational way.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen walking up and like touching every player when the game was decided, mm-hmm. saying, we'll be back, you know, and just like hugging and just communicating with every single player on the bench
yep.
that this isn't the end, man. It's only the beginning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a leader, man. You know?
Yeah. It's just everything about that freaking guy is just, it's insane. Like I said, I'm having trouble wrapping around the idea, my head around the idea that this is our quarterback. This is our team.
And that's the super fun part about it for me is Buffalo Bills fans are so used to pretending that we're the best and being hyped enough that we could be the best, like, you know, emotionally.
Right.
But to actually be that fucking good. Like, I mean, we've spent the whole season talking about how great the Bills are, but I don't think any of us could have predicted this. In a million years, none of us would have predicted this.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have. Not ever.
And the sad part is we get so many of these analysts out there, and no matter how good we play or what we do, there's always excuses that we're not that good. Yep. You know, there's that guy that I showed you the video of, Jeff. Right. Tons of people seen. I got off Twitter. But the guy's ranting about Buffalo not being that good, and we kind of beat the Patriots, and we only beat, you know, two playoff teams, and it was New England and twice in KC. Like, come on, right. man.
Yeah.
I just, you know, when are we ever going to get credit? You know, you got Keyshawn Johnson saying that he'll take a healthy Lamar Jackson over Josh Allen any day.
Yeah.
That was his quote today on ESPN. I mean,
That's just plain ignorant. It really is.
I just, like, what are you looking at?
I mean, I don't even care. If it wasn't even my quarterback, if he was talking about any of the great, like Mahomes, if he said that about any of the good quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson's fine. He's a talented dude. But he can't even hold a candle to Josh Allen. I'm sorry. No. It's not even close.
Well, and if you just want to take this game into example, did this ever happen in history in the NFL against the worst team in the league in a non-playoff game? Fucking no.
Right.
So this happened in a playoff game against a division ruler for 20 years.
Against top five defense.
Against possibly possibly one of the best coaches ever. Which maybe that's in dispute now.
Yeah.
But that was a pretty widely thought fact.
I know, and he's still a good coach, but you're right. I mean, they took him apart, like piece by piece.
Yeah. You're finding out more and more that Tom Brady was really the special piece.
It really appears that way.
Yeah, there's two factors, though. I mean, Josh Allen is becoming that special piece, and what he's been able to do to defenses, especially the Patriots twice, is unbelievable. But, you know, I hate the excuse, too. Like, when the Patriots were, they beat us that shitty 14-10 win game.
Oh, yeah, right.
And they go up on us, and then
they end up and then they're leading the AFC East after that game, right?
Yeah, and everybody's like, oh, it's, you know, the Pats.
Those are done.
Yeah, and it's just.
I mean, even the coach has to bring it up in the locker room. Like, hey, they stuck a fork in us, but we ain't dead yet.
No.
You know? No. Now look at where we are.
And Belichick himself said that he was afraid of Josh Allen.
Yeah. Before the game, when they interviewed him, they said, what do you think about the weather? He said, I'm more afraid of Josh Allen than I am the weather.
Oh, I mean.
And she was right, man. He's like psychic because he should have been scared shitless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Given the option, I think he would have stayed home. Say he was quarantining or something.
They have no problem being some sports analyst who worships Belichick, but they won't think like him.
No, and it sucks because, yeah, I get they have these Super Bowls, but Tom Brady he's not walking through that door anymore, you know? And when everybody's like, oh, Mac Jones, he's a good rookie. He's, you know, he's running this team good. Belichick knows what he's doing, this and that. And then we go and smoke him, and, well, you know, the Bills, they just beat a rookie.
Right.
You know, they beat
right.
it. Was he's a rookie, and, you know, Josh Allen – you know, he's so up and down. Who knows what you're going to get out of him. I hear people saying on ESPN today, well, he had 120 yards and three picks against the Falcons. So who knows what we're going to get.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, guys have
different circumstances,
kind of crappy games. But when Josh is playing good, he's playing good. And we are a completely different team. We are a better team right now than when we played KC the first time and beat him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're big playing time. Good, too. They're
a good changed. Team, man. They have been and will be for a long time, as long as Andy Reid and Mahomes are around. They're going to be a good team.
But
they're
we're hitting on all cylinders, defensively, offensively, special teams. I mean, our team is the complete unit right
Again,
now.
Again, man, the interception from Micah Hyde. I mean, they're up 7-0. The Patriots are driving. I know they're only at the 30 or whatever.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a touchdown. I thought maybe Hyde got a finger on it and kicked it away somewhere.
Right.
he jumped up with a ball in his hands. I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah, that's what the crowd was like at the Bills game. I mean,
seriously,
see it. So, especially on our side, I'm like, oh my God, he intercepted that?
Yeah. Well, Dawson Knox's touchdown, the first one. Josh Allen's like, yeah, I was actually trying to throw the ball away.
Everybody thought that's what I thought he was doing too. I'm like, he threw it away, and all of a sudden everybody's standing up yelling. I'm like, yeah, what happened?
He's going back to the huddle.
Yeah.
And then he ends up on the bench going, why is everybody celebrating? Nobody's talking to him. Right? It took him, like you said, 4 minutes to show the replay on the big screen. He didn't know what the hell was even going on.
Yeah.
He literally thought he threw it away.
That's funny.
I mean, when shit's going your way, I don't know if it's, you know, the deal that
Divine intervention?
Yeah, the deal that Belichick made with the devil just came due or whatever. But no yeah, doubt. Man, he's done. Yeah. They own the Dolphins. They own, obviously, the Patriots, and everybody owns the Jets right now. So, yeah, I don't know.
Because a lot of people had a little bit of a thought in the back of their head. You know, we didn't quite do as well against the Jets as we hoped. You know, sure, they won, but the, you know, first couple, you know, like, whatever. Like,
right.
We did fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Didn't need it.
No.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Josh Allen became the first quarterback to ever have 157-plus quarterback rating and an 84% completion percentage. They throw 5 touchdowns, had 4 incompletions.
Yep.
I mean, seriously, maybe he's the one that made the deal with the devil. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
That's a bizarre stat, too. More touchdowns than incompletions.
Has that ever happened before? I can't imagine.
I doubt it.
It could, maybe, if somebody only played a quarter or something, I guess.
There is a stat that Peyton Manning, Kurt Warner, and Josh Allen are the top 3 quarterbacks that ever had. And I can't remember if it was the quarterback rating and the completion percentage and the touchdowns or something like those 3. But it's Manning, Kurt Warner, and Josh. That's it. You know, and that's one thing I was just going to say. Like, I wish I could say something to Keyshawn Johnson and be like, okay, so you're going to take a healthy Lamar Jackson over Josh Allen. Okay, so how many of these records has Lamar set? You know,
right. Yeah, I see, like, Mahomes' name. I see Kurt Warner, maybe a couple of them. All these elite quarterbacks. I've never seen Lamar Jackson.
Nothing. And Josh has got a ton of these. Like, first quarterback in history to throw for 4,000 yards and rush for 750. First quarterback in history to do this. Like,
right.
They're coming out hot and heavy this year.
Over and over.
See nothing from Lamar?
Yeah.
Nothing.
No. No, I've seen something today about a stat in his first 4 years. He's one of 3 other quarterbacks in his first 4 years to have whatever X amount of touchdowns. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so many you can't keep track. He's rewriting the whole freaking game.
If you were just going to look at the records he broke for the Buffalo Bills franchise, it would take you all day.
Yeah.
Let alone what he's doing in the NFL.
I know. Yeah. I know. That's just, I don't get it. I mean, I don't know. So anyway, what do you guys think of some of these? We'll just get into real quick some of these other games that happened.
I was not that impressed with Dallas, obviously. They did lose.
I expected them to lose, and I picked them to lose.
I think. Did you? I did not. Only because they were at home, and I knew it was going to be a tight game. I thought they could probably pull it out, and they almost did. But, right now the owner's saying he has all the confidence in the world in Mike McCarthy, and I'm glad because I certainly don't.
Well, how can you have all the confidence in the world in a coach that they're the most penalized team in the NFL? The discipline isn't there. Your top receiver had 2 catches.
Right.
They can't run the ball anymore.
Yes. Zeke supposedly now was hurt.
Right.
He looked like he probably should have been in a hospital bed somewhere. He was terrible.
Yep.
The whole offense was anemic.
They're probably going to lose their D coordinator. He's got a bunch of interviews set up. You know, he's probably going to be gone.
Well, again, Dave Jr. Brought it up. You know, like Trayvon Diggs, and I know he's Stephon Diggs' brother. He's got the 11 interceptions. Other than that, he's getting burned on a pretty regular basis. You know what I mean?
He's not a shutdown type corner.
Right.
He's
not
a
Trey White.
He's a playmaker when I guess he wants to be.
Opportunities there, and yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he can take advantage of it. But yeah, that wasn't great. Kansas City, I said this today.
Yeah.
Well, but if you look at their first, and I meant to make a note of it and I didn't, their first 1.5 quarters was like a 3-and-out, 4-and-out, punt, interception, punt. A fumble, and then they score their first touchdown.
Yeah,
then they get 3 of them before the half. You know, yeah. I mean, they can do that. They can score in bunches, but the fact that they're playing Pittsburgh, if Pittsburgh had an offense, could have taken advantage of a couple of those turnovers they'd have been playing from behind.
Yeah, you put us into the mix. Like, if that was us,
right,
we would have been up a couple scores.
Yeah.
You know, because we're going to be able to score on KC. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're deep. And that's the other thing, too, is like, what are people looking at here? Like, they're saying KC's defense is much, much improved. Are they really? Because they're allowing, like, what, the 26 most yards in the NFL right now?
Something like that, yeah. Well, a lot of times I look at even recent history. Like, the Bills, since the second half of the Tampa Bay game, right? 5.5 games, they've given up 86 points. In the last five games, KC has let up 117.
Yep.
In five, and we got 86 in 5.5. Like, since whatever clicked at halftime at Tampa Bay, this has been a different team.
100%. 100%.
Like, they have been so laser focused, and maybe with that loss to New England, with what happened in Tampa Bay, it just hit a nerve, and they went, listen, it's shit or get off the pot, man. We got to move now. Yeah. We're out of time. Time is up.
Yeah, you see a lot of changes. I mean, from the players to the way our games are prepared and our game plan, you know, our offense is clicking on all. McDermott and Daboll did to get together and said, hey, let's do something different here. I mean, it's working. You know, they
pulled out all the stops, man. Like, all those plays we kept talking about all year long. I don't know if they're saving them for the playoffs or whatever.
Yeah.
But what did you see against New England? We got the, oh, hey, there's that quarterback sweep that works every time. Isaiah McKenzie was involved.
Yeah.
You know, Singletary is our running back.
How did we fix our run game that quick? Because that is crazy. I think
it's called Ryan Bates.
That's crazy impressive that happened. I mean, we were not good at running the ball.
Dude, I mean.
And then all of a sudden.
Josh Allen had to get and pick himself up off the ground against the number two defense in the NFL, fair scoring defenses, one time. They knocked him down one time. And I think I read it that was maybe Deion Dawkins.
Yeah. I give credit to Bates 100%, and our line is just playing better.
So good.
But Singletary is a different back this part of the year, man.
Plus, they're bringing in Tommy Doyle as a fifth lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, they're opening up some holes.
Big time. 174 yards rushing, dude. I mean.
And Josh had 66.
Yeah.
He was so good that nobody even mentions the fact that he had 66 yards. And I don't know if you saw that stat, but the fourth fastest player in any given play this past weekend was Josh Allen, running at 19.98 miles per hour. And I'm guessing it was that one where he passed Matthew Judon. Like, his feet were frozen to the turf.
Oh, give him that little juke and then doing right down the sidelines. Dude, he was just
like, yeah. Like, Judon couldn't even turn as fast as Josh Allen went flying by him. Like, he's a runaway freight train.
Well, this
at 20 miles an hour.
This guy's being called a unicorn right now. You realize that?
Oh, yeah. I've heard that, like, too. I've heard that, too.
You know, I mean.
Well, like that video, like you guys said, man, who else? Mahomes doesn't run like that. Lamar Jackson doesn't throw like that. There's no way Lamar Jackson makes half of those touchdowns just from this last game.
No.
He had like four passes of 30-plus yards or something like that.
Yeah, Lamar can't stay on the field, dude. I mean, let's be honest. That's what it came down to in our talks all this time is like, go ahead.
Since we started doing this.
Keep running Lamar. Keep running him like a running back. He's going to be hurt, and he's going to be hurt for a while. And lo and behold, guess what happened? He missed five games. I mean.
Yeah. Well, look at and we've been talking about that style of quarterback. Like, Russell Wilson is the anomaly. I'm sorry. He is. He's not the rule. He's the exception.
Right.
Because look at Kyler Murray.
Well, he's scared.
Kyler Murray looked – their offensive line was horrible.
He just looked terrified to play.
Yeah.
Did you watch that game?
Well, those guys are – look at Aaron Donald, man. If I had Aaron Donald chasing my ass around the field, I'd probably be scared too.
Well, he took a good lick earlier in the season.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that changed the way he is playing quarterback because of his size. And, you know, guys are coming after him now.
Well, that's a thing, too. They're talking about last year's meltdown, this year's meltdown. You know, they started out this season 10-2.
Yeah.
10-2.
Well, here's the thing about Cliff Kingsbury. When he was Texas Tech coach, he had the same issue at the end of the year.
That's what I heard.
So he went he lost 4 out of 5 his second year. He lost 5 out of 6 at Texas Tech, again, at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Then with Arizona, 2 years ago, he lost like 6 out of 7. And then this year was kind of the same thing. So, So I don't know if, I mean.
I don't know what it is.
I don't really know if he can't adjust to, you know, he's not making adjustments at the end of the year, and these other teams are scheming better on him, and you know.
Well, somebody I don't have any numbers to back this up, but somebody had brought up the fact that the Bills have a very good handle on managing their players, right. Veteran rest days, you know, practicing hard, maybe not so hard the next day, like just their training staff. They're obviously crazy healthy.
Oh, we're up.
Mario Addison came out with a shoulder injury on a tackle.
Right.
That was it. I mean, the rest of the team came out of that completely healthy.
Yeah. We've been healthy all year. I mean, the Trey White is the only guy, unfortunately. And if we had him, oh, my God.
Dude. You know? Did you see the interview when they had to – it was after last week's game, or was it this week's game? No, I think it was last week. They interviewed the defensive backs.
Mm-hmm.
First thing they did is brought out Trey White's jersey and laid it on the table.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the last podcast. Yeah.
I mean, that's a team, dude. That's a team.
Well, he's missed.
They love the guy. I mean, they love each other. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah. He's missed, though. I mean, he's a big, big part of this team, you know, emotionally, leadership, obviously on the
Such
field.
Such a good guy.
Yeah. So he's missed, you know. But
yeah.
Did
you get to see the pregame? With Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas. Like, Kelly's got Allen's jersey. Thurman Thomas has Singletary's jersey. I didn't get to see Bruce Smith or Daryl Talley.
We got in there just in time. Again, they snuffed up the entrance there again.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm like, jeez. I don't understand. It was fine, like, That's the last horrible. Two games, and then all of a sudden it went back to the same crap again.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's very cool to think about all of our heroes from our childhood, you know, not yours because you're old, but from our childhood, standing there and watching, you know, like a symbolic torch passing. You know, they already kind of had done that for Josh Allen. He's obviously fantastic. But now they know for sure, holy shit, this franchise is in great hands.
Oh,
like, these guys are better than we could have been.
You know what it reminds me of is like a father who pushes their kid to play football because he might have played a little football but never really got very far, you know, and it's like the Bills. So that little bit they did with Daryl Talley and Steve Tasker, here's to unfinished business. And I think they're embracing that. I mean, it's hard to get that many guys in one location, you know, especially superstars, Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
They're all here. They all came. Yeah, it's awesome.
A lot of them live here, too.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
I believe that, you know, Kelly still does, obviously, Tasker, Thurman. Daryl Talley does,
right?
You know, a lot of these guys still, you know, they came to Buffalo and went through what they went through with this franchise and you know, Bills Mafia and going to four straight Super Bowls, and they fell in love with this place, you know. And I think that's what you're seeing with this team. And I actually had this conversation with my wife the other day. I go, can you see Josh Allen sticking around here, kind of like these guys did when he's retired because of what he's getting from this community and how much he's
involved.
Look
what he's invested in.
How do you walk away from it? I mean, he will spend the rest of his life having people wanting to buy him drinks and telling him he's like the coolest guy in the history of Buffalo.
Especially if he brings us a Super Bowl.
He will be the
most famous guy that's ever walked.
Oshai Hospital. I mean, he's done so much for the community too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like a symbiotic relationship. It all works together, you know.
He's,
but speaking of that, Ryan Fitzpatrick, coming to the game, shirtless in the stands with the Mafia was awesome.
An NFL player that used to play for you,
right?
That let it be known that this was the best place by far that he's ever played, and because of these fans, right?
Yes,
and he's in the stands with everybody, with his shirt off, screaming at the top of his head,
gloves on, shirt off. I said, I really hope when he retires, the Bills sign him to a contract, a one-day contract, to let him retire as a Bill.
No doubt.
He played here longer than any team he played for,
and he,
like 4 years.
He was a good QB here.
He's a good – well, he's also just a really good dude.
Oh, great guy.
Really good.
But how many times do you see a player of any caliber
– I don't remember ever
– do that?
No.
Never.
You just don't.
Other than like your Jim Kellys and Thurman Thomases that spent basically their entire careers here. That you see very commonly.
They're on the field, you know what I mean?
Right, but not
you don't see a guy that buys a ticket. Or, I don't know if he bought a ticket.
Yeah, I have no idea.
And then he's sitting in the stands just going berserk with the fans, taking pictures.
You see Stephon Diggs going and supporting his brother, or like Cole Beasley going home to check out a Cowboy game or whatever. Like,
yep.
That kind of stuff obviously must happen a lot.
Yeah.
But to be just screaming like a guy in love.
He has nothing to do with anybody on this team.
Yep.
Like, there's no ties to this anybody now.
No.
Like, everybody that he played with and had anything to do with anything is gone.
They're all gone. Yeah.
And after that game, if we have another game where all those guys come back, Daryl Talley, Bruce Smith, I hope he's down there with them. I want him to be included.
I think the players would appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think they would.
He deserves it.
Yeah. I honestly said, and I know it's really going too far, but I said I wouldn't mind if he retired, him getting a position. You know, depending on what happens with Dorsey and stuff like that, maybe a quarterback coach or whatever. I mean, I just having him around Buffalo, I think makes Buffalo that much sweeter. I really do. He's just such a good dude.
It's great to see players come back and do stuff like that. And you know how every game they have the legend of the game come back.
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
They're on the mic yelling, let's go Buffalo. And, you know, where else would you rather be?
Tasker, right? Mic drop. Boom.
The one they're missing this year, in my opinion, that – they need to bring back is Kyle fucking Williams, dude.
Dude.
He deserves it.
Do you think they're saving just in case?
I hope so, because he deserves to come be one of those guys. He's another guy like Fitzpatrick that is just – he's so beloved from this community and the fans. Yep.
I know Eric Wood is attached to the broadcast, but he'd be another one too. Maybe if they even brought those two guys together, because they both played together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would blow my mind. That would be fantastic.
Yep.
They certainly have earned it. They're both very, very good.
100% agree. And if you look around the league, how many other NFL teams are doing what we do with their players?
Oh, yeah.
You just don't see that. Like our guys care. They're here. They want to be here. They want to see this team succeed. You don't see ex-players from Dallas doing that, really.
Right.
You don't see guys, you know, for the LA Rams. Like, you got more celebrities going there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, watching the team. Yeah. Like, you just, I don't know, like, the way that our team is right now, the way we're set up with the players and the closeness between the players and the community is probably the biggest, like, bond of an NFL fans and a team that I've ever been a part of or even seen.
Sure.
And
for
it's,
sure.
It's one of those formulas that you can't really recreate that easily, because you had such a great era of football, you know, during the 90s when we were going over and over again and all sharing that failure, you know, sharing that heartbreak. And then to have Jim Kelly go through what he went through personally and bring this community together, make them stronger.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it literally can't be recreated. You know, it's too many different circumstances. And it's lasted despite the team doing everything they can to make that feeling go away by sucking horribly.
Yeah, right.
It persisted for 20 years.
Oh, I know, man. What do you think makes what do you think is making the closeness between the fans and this team more, to me anyway, than it kind of seemed like it was in the 90s when we're on Super Bowl runs? Is it because social media is so big?
I think it's because those guys are still here. I think if those people, you know, Bruce Smith, Tasker, Kelly, had drifted into the background over time and just stopped being a part of this fan base, I'm not sure we would have that today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just they've carried that, like I said, carried that torch this entire time, trying to keep us all hyped, trying to keep us all loving Buffalo, you know, and also acting like people and not celebrities, I think is a big important part of it.
Yeah.
Josh Allen came here and he hasn't changed. From the day he signed on, he has not changed one bit.
Nope. No, not at all.
And a lot of the people that come here.
He's matured a little bit. Other than that, he's the same basic down home, awesome dude.
And a lot of the people that come here probably think they're just passing through, like Jim Kelly did when he first got here.
Yeah. No, and he didn't want to play him much.
Oh, no, yeah, it's not even close. I think, honestly, too, like, I agree with you 100% too, Jay, but I also think social media plays a huge role.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, if you look at, like, just what you can put on, you know, all these hype videos and, you know, what people can put on Twitter and Facebook. And, you know, you got Bills Mafia groups all over the place. And, you know, people people posting like, hey, I'm here from Texas. Hey, I'm a fan from Tokyo, Japan. Like, you know, it's just.
But there's something that, you know, that's a universal thing that all teams have.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, NFL, whatever. All celebrities have that.
Yeah.
But there's something special that causes that fire to just ignite a little bit hotter here.
Oh, yeah.
And even, like you said, it radiates out across the world.
All over the place.
Be honest with you, I think if you look at those players from that Super Bowl era, Andre Reed's doing interviews talking about it. I think, and it would be almost impossible not to have some sort of hole, right, like in your heart, going to four straight Super Bowls and not being able to bring one back.
Yeah.
So they're kind of living through this team.
We all shared it.
Yeah, they're kind of, and so are we as fans. We're all living through this team going, maybe these are the guys that take us to the promised land, man. Maybe we win a couple. I mean, to be honest with you, it'd be fantastic to win four in a row and just get everybody shutting up about New England and Tom Brady. But to think about this team, how good they are, it's a realistic possibility. They could bring us home. So he's been through. That would be – we can stop talking about four consecutive Super Bowl losses. We can talk about we won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And if we won two, great, or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. People get sick of hearing wide right and, you know, getting blown out by Dallas and all the bad things that came with those Super Bowl runs.
Yeah.
It was fantastic, man, and I still look at it very positively. I enjoyed every single one of those seasons. It was just like right now. Like, how long has it been since we've been in the middle of January going, we got a team? Yeah, well, it's two consecutive years now.
This is the team
we've been waiting for. We got a team, man.
This is the team we've been waiting for a long time. This is Josh is the guy we've been waiting for, this team, this coaching staff, this the whole thing, man. The whole thing.
And what we talked about preseason that we needed to happen, you know, Dawson Knox really performing. I mean, it was perfect. Every player is performing at the level that we wanted them to and we're hoping they could, and it's just all coming together.
Yeah. You know, Emmanuel Sanders, I heard that was his first touchdown in a playoff. This guy's gone to Super Bowls.
That was his first touchdown in a playoff game?
I think that's what they said.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not sure. I didn't look at it, but yeah, he's excited. I'm like, this entire team is just like,
yeah, he's embraced it.
Yeah.
You know,
he loves the environment. He loves the team. I think if he felt he could play for another 10 years, he'd want to be here.
100%. I mean,
he just seems like he really enjoys this, the experience, you know? And I get it. Everybody does.
Yeah, it's hard. It's got to be the same feeling for these players in a way, too. I mean, obviously, they're the ones on the field,
right,
you know, performing and making this happen. But, you know, I don't think it would be the same without Bills Mafia, without these type of fans.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, we're different. We're different, you know. Kyle Brandt today on you know, Good Morning Football was explaining his trip to Buffalo. And
oh, yeah.
You know, you were going to talk about that, right, Jay?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, ultimately, for people who are from Buffalo, it must have been so cathartic to see him talk about all the, you know, the perfect plate of food that you have to get when you go to Buffalo. And, you know, he did it right. You know, we talked about he did Cajun wings, which some people be like, oh, he didn't do the standard hot buffalo wing. But,
yeah,
you know, who fucking cares?
Right.
He came to Buffalo. He got good food,
yep,
and did it the right way. And beyond that, that guy spent, you know, 2018 and 2019 saying, I'm a low-key Buffalo fan and I'm not going to apologize for it. And now he's saying, I fucking told you.
Yeah.
I've been a Buffalo fan forever and this is what I've been fucking saying this whole time.
Yeah.
And it must be so fun for him.
He's had a great time.
He's hooked. Like, you go to a game, you go to a game like that, and you experience what he experienced. You know, from the food to the tailgate to that game to the legends he was able to meet. He's hooked as a Bills fan, guys.
Yeah,
he can't turn that off.
Towards the end of the video, he did two things that I really appreciated. One, he showed himself screaming at the fans at the sideline and saying, look at that fucking idiot right there.
Yeah.
And that's what it is to be a Bills fan.
Yeah,
take a picture of anybody in the fans of that game. You'd be like, look at that fucking idiot. Like,
yeah,
he's crazy.
Yeah.
But then the other thing is
that
he ended it by saying, you know, and now we go on to the next game. Please don't fuck it up. You know, like, please don't lay an egg.
Yeah,
right. And that's what we're all thinking.
Oh, 100%.
Like, you guys,
right,
we know that you kind of cannot ever achieve what we achieved this time, but let's just, you know, be consistent this time.
Yeah.
We want to go into KC and we want to obviously win this game.
If we could replay the first trip there, you know, just replay that 38-20.
Well, that makes you, how much more confident does that, beating KC in KC this year, going back, how much more confident does that make
there's
you?
There's a problem with that because, unfortunately, I'm a Bills fan.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And
manage your expectations?
Yeah, for, you know, whatever, 50-some, or about 50 years, you're always waiting for that other shoe to fall.
Yep.
Like, you know, it's going to end. Where does it end?
You almost feel guilty for it, but it's just so ingrained.
Yeah, I blame national media for not having enough respect for this team. It's going away. this last game probably did more for me to get over that something bad's going to happen feeling. I mean, I do. I get that. Like, even going in the New England game, I'm like, there's no reason they should not kick their ass. I hope they do.
Yeah.
And Kyle Brandt, I hope they don't lay an egg.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he's got that Buffalo mentality.
But what
now.
Happened? What happened to, you know, Ryan? This, you know, ride the ride until you spill the gravy. You know what yeah. I mean? Like,
no, I like I said, I'm getting there. Kansas City's a really good team, and that's a tough stadium to play in. I anticipate the Bills handling this game competently, the exact same way they did it, like a machine. Somebody pointed that out. The Bills were as close to robotic as a team could possibly get. They made no mistakes. There was no mental breakdowns. There was no 50-yard run for a touchdown from the opponent. There was nothing there. Like, I mean, I think they held both running backs combined to like 3.39 yards a carry.
Yep.
They were not a factor. Mac Jones was not a factor.
No.
Like, nobody – Kendrick Bourne was like the only guy. I think he had both touchdowns or whatever. Like, I don't know. They just – they had nothing to offer. There was nothing there. And I think the Bills can do that to just about anybody in the league.
There's ultimately two outcomes for this season. We will either A, win a Super Bowl and change everything forever, or we'll drop out and we'll be talking about this last game forever.
Right.
I don't want there to be a footnote that the best game in the history of time offensively was followed by the Bills sucking ass against Kansas City and right. showing who they really are. Right. I don't want to hear that shit anymore.
Yep.
So let's just do great against Kansas City, shut it up forever, and then we'll worry about the Super Bowl. That's what matters to me right now.
It just seems that there's no way that from how we've been playing and no. the way we've looked, there's no, it just After feels like to me there's no way we go into KC and not either A, like get into a shootout and just take it down to the wire, or B, dominate the game pretty much. I mean, yep. I can't see the – it just – We've been playing too good of football. Our guys have prepared every week and been gotten better and better and better. And it showed against New England. I can't see us not going to KC.
Kansas City's a decent team. But after last year's championship game, man, that was like a brand. These guys were like all emblazoned with this brand that we got to make that go away. That can't be how it is between us and Kansas City. We have to slay this freaking dragon, and we got to do it now. We have a Super Bowl window with these guys. Obviously, he's 32 or whatever. Like, Emmanuel Sanders is not a young guy. Some of these guys, Jerry Hughes is going away soon. Like, you know, Mario Addison. These are guys, these are veteran guys that, like them or not, they make a part of the whole picture. So they have this Super Bowl window, and I think – Josh Allen has done a fantastic job, along with the coaches, of keeping everybody laser focused. This is what we have to do. There's no, maybe we'll do this or, yeah, hopefully we. No, this is how we got to do it. And Daboll, he's probably going to be gone. Leslie Frazier, probably gone. Like, our window of opportunity is right now. And every one of those guys I just mentioned are going to be trying to figure out a way to make sure that trip doesn't end in Kansas City.
And obviously there's more chances than this year, but it certainly does seem like we've been given every opportunity now. What we talked about, you need to take advantage of every opportunity you can. We've been doing it. We need to keep doing it and take it all
it
the way.
It feels different. You're right, Jake. I mean, there's no reason to be super concerned about any game going forward. These guys are that good. They are that good.
They are.
You know, I don't see them looking at Kansas City and being nervous or not ready or whatever. I mean, I think they will pull out all the stops to do whatever they think they got to do to beat Kansas City. And they are beatable.
Yeah,
beatable. We beat them before.
Did it once.
They just barely got past, like, Denver in the LA Chargers. Like, they did beat them, but it wasn't like they blew them out, you know? So, yeah, I think the opportunity is there. And like I say, the first four or five series that they had this past game, interception, fumble. T.J. Watt picked up a fumble, scored a pick six on a fumble.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, if their offense had been able to do anything, Pittsburgh would have been in that game.
Yeah.
They just – and it wasn't It wasn't KC's defense, in my opinion. It was Pittsburgh offense is just defunct. It's done. You know, they just don't have they have Najee Harris. He can't carry the ball every time. He can't catch every pass.
Pittsburgh isn't built to beat a team like KC, but we are. We are,
absolutely.
We've already faced KC a few times in previous years. They beat us. We understood why they beat us, where we were weak, where they were better than us. Josh, obviously, is a guy that came along, and now he's at the tier where he can go toe-to-toe. I don't care what anybody says. He's toe-to-toe with Pat Mahomes. Maybe a little better with his all-around skills.
All-around play, yeah.
But we built ourselves from last year in the offseason to beat this team. We did what we need to do with draft picks on DNs. You know, our defense got better. Our offense got better. We beat them already once. We showed how we can beat them with pass rush, getting to Pat Mahomes, you know, keeping stuff in front of us. I mean, we're going to go in with the same, I'm telling you, the same mentality. Our defense is playing that much better. And the thing that about our team that makes us a good team is if we have an issue on offense or on defense, one or the other can pick the other two up, right? So, like, if our offense is, you know, starting slow or whatever the issue is, our defense has done it already where they go in, they shut you down, they flip field position, they turn the ball over, they give our offense, you know, a nice jolt, and then that's when we can start going. Or kind of opposite, you know, if our defense if their defense isn't playing great, they're, you know, letting guys, you know, teams drive down the field, they're scoring, our offense is keeping right up with them until finally our defense makes a stop. So that's what makes a good team is they both kind of have each other's backs, and they've been able to do it.
Football they always talk about, right? Take the ball away because you know your offense is going to score.
100%. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So right, well, I'll tell you what. I seen an interview with Emmanuel Sanders today, and he said this week's motto is, "We all we got and we all we need."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they asked him, who came up with that? He said, I did this morning. Yeah, he was talking to one of the other players.
And now I said it out loud, so it's real.
And then everybody kind of said embraced it or whatever. But, yeah, I can't imagine if you're a Buffalo Bill that played last year and you're going back to KC after what happened in that AFC Champions game last year, that's going to bring back horrific memories of a bad day, and that they will just be that focused on making sure they don't feel that again. Because that's what it's going
to
be about.
And they've got to have all the confidence on the planet going into this game.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Coming off the back of what we did to New England, it can't get any better.
Nope. I really think they'll handle
it. At one time, we talked about, did this team peak too early? Is that our fault this year? No. We're on a roller coaster, man. We're going to stay up on top.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all blew our projections for last week's score, by the way.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, Jason had 17. He missed by 16 there. But
what was the final score again?
47-17.
17, yeah.
30 points.
So you had 35, Jeff, yeah.
Yeah, pretty close.
I just don't – I mean, how many people would have guessed we were going to put up 47, which should have been 49?
Right, Tyler Bass. And that was funny. Then he hits the upright. And they said maybe he didn't want to get it blocked, so he kind of pulled it a little bit so it wouldn't get blocked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to clean that up. Funny because
that's weird.
The Bills? Like Micah Hyde, first thing he brings up is, I shouldn't have let that guy get behind me.
Right.
You know, that was on me. You know, Josh Allen's like, there's still ways we can improve. Sean McDermott's like, we got some things we got to work on. It's like, are you kidding me? You guys just pitched a no-hitter.
It's business for these guys right now, man.
They're so laser-focused. Insane.
They don't show everything, obviously, in the locker room, but look at the locker room speech. It was business. These guys weren't Gatorade on each other, like going berserko. They're like, hey, you know, one game at a time, you know, on to the next.
Isn't that exactly what Josh Allen said?
Yeah.
Like, it's one game. It doesn't matter what happened last week or the week before that. It's one game. Yep. It's on to the next.
They don't look too far ahead. They do, you know, they live one game at a time. And I mean, McDermott is preparing these guys better than almost any coach out there right now. Yeah. I mean,
it's about time they started talking about him a little bit. You know, Brandon Bean got a little recognition as far as the GM. I think last year they at least talked about him a little bit. And Bob Shane, I guess, is probably going to be gone too. His assistant, is it Bob? Joe? I don't remember. I think it might be Joe. But anyway, Yeah, it sounds like he could take another position too as a GM somewhere. There's a lot of opportunities out there because there was a lot of bad teams.
Yep.
Oh, I gotta ask you, what about Brian Flores getting fired in Miami?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
It's dumb. Like, I mean, that's just another thing that makes Miami just Miami. I mean,
the rumor was that he did not want Tua. He wanted to try and get Deshaun Watson, and the owner wants Tua.
And yeah, I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I heard. Who knows?
The biggest thing that
But how do you fire that guy?
Well, I mean, again, like the owner said, he's like, we both see, you know, two different paths for this team. And
that's what people brought up.
Yeah.
The fact that they see two different paths is one is with Tua, one without Tua.
Right.
So.
Right.
Who knows?
Well.
But yeah, I mean, I think he got phone calls about an hour after it was, released that he had been released from the team.
Yep.
The phone call started rolling in for interviews.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the guy's a good coach. It's very evident.
Good coach.
You know, I mean, Miami hasn't been a great team, but they've been decent, you know, and they got
a lot of good draft picks again this year.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's they're going to be basically starting from scratch again because you got a whole new staff. How many players are going to be cleaned out and this?
How about
and
a new system? Who knows,
man? Yeah. It's just,
yeah, the whole thing.
Good.
A new playbook.
Good for us, though, you know?
Yeah.
Good for us. So,
yep. All right. Does anybody want to make some predictions for this coming week?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Let's do it.
Ooh, Jason is ready.
I am going to go with 41-21 Bills.
Ooh, that's schnazzy.
That's nice. It's a nice score right there.
I know Kansas City will probably get more points, but I'm hoping they don't.
I don't know. I don't know if the Bills, like the last time they gave up more than 21 points was to Tampa Bay, like almost six games ago or whatever it was. You know, since that halftime at Tampa Bay, man, we talked about it earlier. They're on fire, dude. They're playing solid football.
Yeah.
And this time of year, that's what you want, right? Like solid football.
No, absolutely. I can't say that we're gonna, blow them out. I just have a hard time thinking that it won't be kind of back and forth. But I still think we're obviously gonna win. But I'm gonna go 35-23.
Ooh, that was close to what I was thinking. Actually, I'm going to go – I did like that 35 score, but I'm going to go 38-28. I think that's possible.
Yep.
I like it. I like you guys. You know what I mean?
I like you too. You're like the best.
I don't like him, though. Ugh.
Yeah, I get it.
You can't always pick your family, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you're just born into it. You know?
Yeah, right. It is what it is.
That's how it works. All right. Is that it, guys? Anything else?
I'm pretty comfortable with that. If everybody's good with it.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. Tell them how to listen to the podcast, Jay.
Well, you can listen to it on Anchor, and you can find it anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, whatever. And you can find us on social media at ETD Buffalo on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, guys, we really appreciate you listening to the podcast. We are completely exhilarated for this game. I know, speaking of all Bills Mafia out there, this is a huge, huge game. So just want to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills!
Go Bills! Bills.